Well, as we start today, I want to encourage you to turn with me to two passages of Scripture. I want you to turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Chronicles is exactly what they sound like. You want to read it almost like a newspaper article, and it tells the details of the story of the past of the Israelites. And so Chronicles is a very interesting place to gather a lot of information. Now, we are in a new series called Breakthrough. And the goal of this series in the next 4 weeks is to focus on breakthrough. And we're going to do that in four different ways. Today, we're going to talk about prayer and fasting. Next week, we're going to talk about deliverance. What do we need to be delivered from? And what does deliverance look like in the kingdom of God? The third week is going to talk about persistence. And being persistent will help us to experience breakthrough. And then week four is an awesome week. It's the Sunday that we're calling Breakthrough Sunday, where we want to celebrate the breakthrough moments that maybe our people have experienced, our church has experienced, or we're going to experience this year. So I want to encourage you to be in God's Word and to really engage God through prayer over the next 21 days. We have prayer guides and a 21-day guide that we are going to make available online. So make sure you check our Facebook page and also on our website to download that guide to lead you through our 21 days. If you haven't already, make sure you download the talk sheet for today as well. So interestingly, 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, the chapter 14 and chapter 20 really line up well with beginning the process of understanding what leads to breakthrough. We're going to look at two different men, David and Jehoshaphat. Now, could you imagine if your name was Jehoshaphat? Like, I'm not sure. Yeah, I don't. Maybe they like called him Fatty for short. I don't know. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 14, as we start right here, verse 8 reads, "When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told that they were coming, so he marched out to meet them. The Philistines arrived and made a raid in the valley of Rephaim. So David asked God, 'Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?' The Lord replied, 'Yes, go ahead. I will hand them over to you.'" Now, I'm actually going to switch translations here. We're going to jump from the NLT to the New King James Version. Verse 11 reads, "So they went up to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, 'God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water.' Therefore, they called the name of that place Baal Perazim, which means master of breakthrough." That's really important. We're going to come back to that. Now, I want you to jump over to 2 Chronicles. And if you're still looking for Chronicles in your Bible, it's in the Old Testament, more towards the front. And 2 Chronicles actually looks at the story of Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah at the time. So verse 20, starting in verse 1. Or chapter 20, starting in verse 1. "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Meunites came to wage war against Jehoshaphat. Some people came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A vast army is coming against you.' Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him." Now, so we have two men, two experiences, both pretty similar experiences, but they both experienced breakthrough by following two different paths. Now, we're going to go deeper into what all this means, but a preliminary look shows us that to get to breakthrough, you can follow David's pathway, which was to pray, or you can follow Jehoshaphat's pathway, which included prayer and fasting. The important part is to realize this is because some breakthroughs can only be experienced through prayer and fasting. Now, that statement aligns well with the words of Jesus to his disciples when they were really confused why they couldn't exorcise a demon out of a boy. Later, when Jesus had met with the disciples privately, he said to them these words that are found in Mark. "This kind," talking about the demons, "can be cast out only by prayer and fasting." So he made the disciples even aware then that there's there's sometimes the only ability for breakthrough is to include prayer and fasting. Now, what do we mean when we talk about breakthrough? Well, what does this word translate for us? And in order for us to have common language when we talk about breakthrough, I want to make sure that we know we're defining it the same way. So I would define breakthrough as this. It's a sudden act of moving through or beyond an obstacle. So it happens suddenly, and there's movement involved, and it's movement through or beyond a known, or in this case, an obstacle. Now, before we can actually talk about breakthrough, we really need to first pause and identify the obstacle. So let me ask you this question as we begin not only this message, but also this series. Where do you want, or maybe better put, where do you need to experience breakthrough in your life? Where do you want, or where do you need to experience breakthrough? Now, this is an important question to stop and to pause and reflect on. I hear people many times say, "Pastor, I want to experience a breakthrough in my marriage," or "I want to experience breakthrough in a relationship." And I don't just mean a relationship with our spouse, our marital relationships, but also just our relationships with friendships and coworkers and those types of relationships. Some people want to experience a breakthrough in their career or their finances. I hear often that people say that they want to experience a breakthrough in their finances. These are not bad things. Maybe today you find yourself wanting to experience a spiritual breakthrough, and you just feel like you're kind of stuck in a spiritual rut. Or maybe today you are struggling through addiction, and you would say, "Pastor, I need to experience, or I want to experience breakthrough with my addiction." All of these things are valid. All of these things can lead to breakthrough. But before we go any further, we really need to pause and reflect on the obstacle that's holding us back, or that we're trying to break through. We're going to pause here, and we're going to move to the started out section of our talk sheet. And we're also going to just kind of pause for a few seconds and really reflect on, what is it that I want to experience breakthrough for? Or where is it that I want to experience breakthrough in my life? And once we get to that place, I think we're going to be better equipped when we identify the obstacle, how, again, we're going to move forward. So if you're with a group, we encourage you to pause now, talk amongst your group. If you're watching this by yourself, again, we always encourage you to engage in other conversations with people around you through text message, or maybe you want to journal through this process, or maybe you're watching this as a couple. This is a great place for you to pause to talk to each other about what is it and where is it that you want to experience breakthrough. When you're ready to continue, just press play. If you want to just keep moving, just wait, and in 5 seconds, we'll immediately move forward to the next section. So today we're going to talk about 3 steps that I think will really help to begin the journey towards breakthrough. Now, I want to give you these 3 steps right off the bat. I want you to be able to write these down, and then we're going to take notes, and we're going to kind of dialogue a little bit through that process. But here are the steps. Number one, identify the obstacle. Number two, take the obstacle to God in prayer. And then lastly, step 3, go beyond prayer and fast. So these are the 3 steps that we're going to look over today. So let's start with step 1, identify the obstacle. So in his book, The Obstacle is the Way, media strategist Ryan Holiday remembers an old Zen story. It's about a king whose people had grown soft and complacent. Now, the king wanted to teach the people a lesson, so he dropped a huge boulder right in the middle of the main road that leads to the city. What was interesting is this boulder completely blocked the entrance into the city, so that was the only way that people had to get in and out, and now there was a giant boulder there. The king actually hid nearby in the woods to watch the response. And unfortunately, with growing disappointment, many turned away. And they didn't just turn away, but also many had cursed and were angry with the obstacle, or they were angry with the king that he hadn't done anything about the obstacle that was in the way. Now, I'm going to stop here in the story. The story does continue. I'm going to put a pin here in the story, and we're going to come back to it. But we're going to digest a few things before we get there. In the story that I just shared with you, it's easy to identify the obstacle. It's a large rock. It's a boulder. It's sitting there right in the middle of the road. We can identify that. In fact, when we look at David's story, we can identify very quickly the obstacle that was in the way. It was the Philistines. It was this approaching army that was coming after him. But I want you to take and pay close attention to the timing of when the Philistine army actually approaches. 1 Chronicles 14, verse 8 tells us that when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. So David becomes king, and immediately the Philistines attack. So something good happens, and then it's followed up by an attack. Does that sound familiar? It's something that we experience. In fact, the same thing happens with Jehoshaphat. In Jehoshaphat's story, the obstacle is very similar. This time it's three armies that come upon him. But now I want you to key in on verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In verse 1, there's these two words right at the beginning. You can see them here. That is paramount to understand the power of the moment. It says, after this. So after this, the enemy attacked. But what is this? Why, like, what was this? After what, I think, is the question we have to ask ourselves. Well, this is actually Jehoshaphat pointing the people back to God. So what happened before this moment was Jehoshaphat had turned the hearts of the people back towards God. He had enabled priests to be able to serve in the temple. He had appointed judges all over the land to help align the people's hearts back to God. And the result of this moment was an incredible revival that broke out throughout the land. But of course, you had this incredible revival and then boom, obstacle. This is so familiar to our stories. This is familiar to us even as churches. I want you to know something that's really important. Typically, the enemy, our spiritual enemy, as we would call Satan, doesn't attack when things aren't going well. He doesn't have to. When things are going poorly, he just allows things to keep going poorly. Instead, typically, Satan attacks when things are going well. And we see that in David's story. We see that in Jehoshaphat's story. Things are going well, and then boom, there's an obstacle. Now, this is why we need to move to step two. Step two says to take the obstacle to God in prayer. Now, David, confronted with the Philistine army, actually in verse 10, he does something very strategic and very important. He asked God. He asked God, should I fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me? These are really good questions. Before you go into battle, you want to find out, are you with me, Lord? And now here's the interesting thing. The Lord replies, yes, go ahead. I will hand them over to you. Now we applaud David here. We say, good job, David. You did the right thing. You asked God, what should I do? And God said, I'll be with you. Go out. And he went out and he destroyed the Philistines. Nah, there's a problem. This is not David's first response. In fact, this is David learning from an incredible failure when he didn't take the obstacle to God. In fact, in just the chapter before, in chapter 13, we find that David has another obstacle. The obstacle in this case is the Ark of God, or what they call the Ark of the Covenant. It's the centerpiece to worship in the temple. It can only be transported certain ways and certain times, and David convened all of his leaders. He convened all of his officials. He convened his military leaders and his advisors, and they all came together, except for he left one person out, God. He talked about the obstacle of moving the ark. They decided, well, this is the best plan. Never consulted God. So all of a sudden, because of their decision, a man died. And the ark sat in Obed-Edom for 3 months. Nobody touched it. Nobody moved it. And it was all because David didn't take the obstacle to God. So in this case, we see the power of this moment of David saying, God, should I go out and fight? He's learning from past mistakes of not taking the obstacle to God. So let me tell you, take your obstacle to God. It is not bad to have a support system. It's not bad to have people around you that come alongside you. But you can't take your obstacle to people because they can't do with the obstacle what God can do. They're going to help you, surely, but they're not going to be able to move the obstacle. They're not going to be able to identify what you need to do to get through it or to get over it or to deal with it. You got to take your obstacle to God. In fact, Philippians 4, 6 through 7 is a great reminder for us. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Keep going. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, here's something that God revealed to me through the process of reading this scripture and just kind of being alone with God. For the first time in reading Philippians chapter 4, I realized that it doesn't say that the obstacle will be removed. It doesn't say that whatever it is you're praying for is suddenly just taken away. What it does say is that the peace of God will be with you in the midst of it. That is so important. To experience God's peace, even when we're standing in front of a giant boulder of life. Jehoshaphat takes his obstacle to God. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting at verse 3, just want to read briefly the first part verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. Now, that word inquire literally means to pray, to inquire, to ask, to beseech God. But he also leads us now to step 3. Step 3 says, go beyond prayer and fast. So let's continue reading in verse 3 as we go beyond prayer and fast. He says, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. So the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. You see, Jehoshaphat realized, sure, he needed to pray, but he also needed to go beyond prayer and include the power of fasting. You see, fasting takes us to an even deeper level of power in our relationship with God and also in our ability to experience breakthrough. In fact, I want you to consider Daniel's prayer. Now, Daniel was an Old Testament prophet, and at the time of his prayer, in what was happening in him, he was in Babylonian captivity. So he was oppressed, and he had a lot of people around him were just had no hope. But yet Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9, verse 3 says, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and fasting. See, he included fasting into his prayer life to experience breakthrough, not just for himself, but also for the people around him. Now, another person that was a part of that Babylonian captivity that would also be a leader and wrote a book about his, the leadership that it took in order for him to move the people back to Jerusalem out of Babylonian captivity is Ezra. And Ezra wrote this note in his book. He said, we fasted and earnestly prayed that God would take care of us, and he heard our prayer. I want you to know that there is power when we pray together. There is power in praying together. And that's what we see here from Jehoshaphat. That's what we see here from Daniel. That's what we see here from Ezra, that when not only do we pray and we fast and we do it together, that there is power and authority that happens. And I want to encourage you to continue to fast and pray together as we fast and pray together. So as we kind of think about that, we're going to stop here and we're going to move to the talk it out portion of our talk sheet. And again, I want to encourage you, continue to dialogue and talk about the scripture that we just mentioned and some of the implications of what it means, not only to your life, but also to the life of the people around you and also to our community and church. I want to take us back to the old Zen story that we talked about at the beginning of the message. The king had dropped this massive boulder in the middle of the road that led in and out of the city. There was no other way to get in and out. He hid in the woods in order to watch as people came, and they cursed the boulder, the obstacle. They cursed the cane because it wasn't moved, and you know, he was just really upset and dejected because nobody seemed to try to do anything to really move the obstacle. Well, the story, as I said, continues. A few days later, a peasant shows up. The peasant recognizes the problem right away. The obstacle is this giant boulder sitting in the middle of the road, leading in and out of the city. So he walks up to the boulder and he begins to try to push the boulder out of the way, straining and veins popping out of his head and neck, and he can't move the boulder. He realizes that it's futile. So he runs into the woods, he cuts down a tree, grabs a limb, and he begins to wedge the limb underneath the boulder in order to try to find leverage to move the boulder out of the way. Now, I'll tell you the rest of the story, but I'm going to divert from the original implication of what this story means. The truth is that the story from here takes a very Hellenistic turn. It's very Stoic, meaning that, we can accomplish things on our own and by ourselves, and we don't need anybody else or anything. Well, in this case, the peasant does move the boulder with the stick and having the leverage. And when he does, he finds this purse of gold that was put underneath the boulder. And with it was a note that was written from the king. And this is what the note said. The obstacle in the path becomes the path. Never forget, within every obstacle is an opportunity to improve our condition. Now, there's some truth in that, and I can gather and garner some truth from that statement, but that's not God's story. In fact, I want to suggest to you that, number one, our King, our Heavenly Father, doesn't place boulders in the middle of the road. Rocks happen because life happens. And, however, we do show up to the obstacle at times, and we curse the obstacle, we get mad at the obstacle, and we certainly try to sometimes even move the obstacle on our own, and we especially want to get angry at the king because the obstacle hasn't been removed. But we got to keep going past all of this. Many of us will walk away from the obstacle because we don't utilize the greatest advantage that we have. And that's the king. You see, the king is the one who can help us to remove the obstacle, to experience that breakthrough. Now, what I like about this story is that the peasant didn't just turn around and walk away. He did something. He recognized that he needed to do something in order to move the boulder from the road. Even though he tried pushing it out of the way and it didn't move. And eventually, yes, he did get a stick and he was able to move it. There are obstacles in our life that will not move under our own strength. But we need to do something as well. And what I add to the story is that the king doesn't sit in the woods. Our Heavenly Father does not sit in the woods and watch us as we struggle. Instead, he embraces coming into the story with us and to move the boulder with us, to move the obstacle out of the way, to experience breakthrough. When we add prayer and fasting to our relationship with God, we are doing something proactive to experience the breakthrough that only God can provide. If you want to get to breakthrough, you need to do something. But the good news is, you don't have to do it alone. So let's recap. The steps and the timing for our series. This is an opportunity for us to do something. Number one, identify the obstacle. Number two, take the obstacle to God in prayer. And number three, go beyond prayer and fast. Well, we're going to end here with an opportunity to close in prayer. I want to encourage you, don't stop here in the talk sheet, but make sure you go to the Live It Out section and also the Pray It Out section at the end of the talk sheet as well. And as we do at the end of each of our time together, we're going to close with the benediction. So I encourage you, as you see it come up on the screen, to say the benediction with me. And if you feel comfortable or if you want to, I just encourage you to hold your hands out to receive this blessing. These are the moments and opportunities that we lead to breakthrough. And I pray that this benediction will be a blessing over your week as you continue the journey with Jesus to identify the obstacle, to take that obstacle to God, and to also to fast as we want to experience breakthrough in our lives. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen and amen. You are sent.